following is a special presentation from 92.9 WBPM, Socrates, Kingston, Poughkeepsie, New York.
Elton John and Bernie Taupin are one of the most successful songwriting duos in all of music history, with Bernie writing the lyrics and Elton composing the melodies and arrangements on the piano.
And you can tell everybody this is your song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind, I hope you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is while you're in the world.
Partnership began in 1967, and it so far has spawned 22 top 10 hits and 7 that made it all the way to number 1. In 2024, they received the Library of Congress Gershwin Prize for Popular Song.
The nicknames Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy were definitely created for the album and came from my pen, absolutely. But how I came up with them is a mystery to me. I have no idea or no recollection, but I think it was obvious that I wanted to sort of have a tongue-in-cheek look at the way we were back then, because we were far from being comic book heroes. That was really the last thing that we were. Those pseudonyms sort of, I don't know if they had a great deal in creating what we became, but they certainly did. I think they had sort of a relative reality about them at the time, because Elton was always a semi sort of flamboyant character, even back then. And not so much his outfits, because at that period of time he wasn't performing. This was prior. But you saw those touches of eccentricity in the way he dressed. You know, he had this enormous sort of fur coat that looked like a gorilla skin, and he'd walk about in those. So there were elements of that sort of fermenting in his psyche at the time. And as for myself, I was most certainly enamored with Americana and the American West, so becoming the Brown Dirt Cowboy wasn't a real great stretch for me.
I only did become the Brown Dirt Cowboy, and then I became Captain Fantastic. Ironically enough, we never thought that would happen when we made that album, but that's how our life seemed to pan out.
Hi, I'm Dan Neer. In celebration of Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy's 50th anniversary, UME has released a special expanded version of this seminal album. Over the next hour, Elton and Bernie will take you through the creation and meaning behind the songs of this record, for which both feel deep and profound affection. Welcome to Elton John's Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy at 50. All access.
Captain Fantastic, raised and regimented, hardly a hero. Just someone whose mother might know. Very clearly a case for cornflakes and classics, two teas both with sugar, please. In the back of an alley, while little dirt cowboys turn brown in their saddles, sweet chocolate biscuits and red rosy apples in summer. For it's hey make and hey ma, do the papers say anything good? All the chances in life for little dirt cowboys. Should I make my way out of my home in the woods? Brown dirt cowboy, still green and growing, city slick captain. Fantastic the feedback, the honey the hive could be holding. There's a weak wing in young sparrows, starving the winter, broken young children on wheels of the winners, and the 68 summer festival wolf flowers are thinning. The chief is a meal, a hardly a home. Too hot for the band, with a desperate desire for change. We've thrown in the towel too many times, out for the count and when we're down. Captain Fantastic and the brown dirt cowboy from there, and all the world to your town. All this talk of Jesus coming back to see us, couldn't fool us. For we were spinning out our lines, walking on the wire. Hand in hand went the music and the rhyme, the captain and the king. Stepping in the rain. From here on, sun and sun and sun, it's a long, lonely climb. The chief feeds the meal, a hardly a home on the rain. Too hot for the change.
title piece of Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy from the newly released 50th Anniversary Expanded Edition. Elton John and Bernie Taupin.
Certainly the way I wrote it made sense, but for him to write it in sequence is pretty extraordinary.
I hired the music room for 2 hours during lunch while the classical pianist had it for the whole day, and I wrote the songs in my lunch hour. And in those days, I didn't have any tape recorders. All the early songs were written and totally remembered. So I had them in my head so that when I got to Caribou, I could still remember them, what key they're in, the chord sequence, everything. So I wrote Meal Ticket first. I probably wrote 85% of the album on the boat. I'd write a song or two songs during the period of the 2 hours, remember them. And it was very easy to write because it was kind of written in sequence. So I had a beginning and an end. And it was about Bernie and myself and our story. So it was like writing a musical of sorts to our life story. And so I found it very easy to write because I identified with the lyrics. I'd lived that story. It was about me and it was about him. It was about the love we had for each other. It was about the frustrations that we went through, the disappointments and the sharks, the pitfalls of being in the business, and the fact that we were traveling on the SS France writing the songs rather than driving around in a car or flying economy on, you know, Pan Am shows, you know, our lifestyle had changed as well. I played squash. I swam. So it was like, I'm so excited. It was an old, beautiful boat with a beautiful staircase. And it was kind of, for me, just probably the most romantic, luxurious thing I'd ever done up to that point. It was a beautiful experience, and it was so much fun. And it was just weird to write an album on a boat.
John's observations of the music, quote-unquote, business in the 70s. Gotta get a meal ticket. Taken from the newly dropped 50th anniversary edition of Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy.
I mean, it was pretty good before Captain Fantastic came out. I mean, we were gradually gathering momentum in America and all over the world. But when that album came in at number one, we were very, very excited. It was kind of like the pinnacle of the 70s for us with that album coming in at number one. It was a surprise when it came in at number one, but it wasn't unexpected that we would do better with each album because, we, you know, as I say, we were getting more and more popular playing live and, you know, every artist goes through those 4 or 5 years when they can do no wrong. And that was kind of the record that was like, could do no wrong. But musically, I think it was one of our finest albums. It was different. It wasn't a commercial album. In fact, it was only one single from the album, which was Someone Saved My Life Tonight.
The story behind Someone Saved My Life Tonight comes from that point in time when Elton was about to embark on getting married in a very sort of miscalculated step in his life. We were living in Islington and sharing a flat there with his fiancée. And I think it was a sort of musical downfall at that particular time because we weren't being particularly creative. And I think a lot of that emanated from the fact that he was confused about both stepping into this marriage and his sexuality at the same time. But the crux of it, it's not me that saved his life. That was aided and abetted by Long John Baldry, who Elton had come off playing keyboards for earlier, you know, sort of a year or two earlier. And we went out with John one night and got paralytically drunk. And John gave his sort of version of the Gettysburg Address about saying, why are you doing this? You know, you're a gay man and you're throwing your life away when you should be concentrating on your musical career and not throwing a wrench into it. That was Elton's fiancée's Waterloo because we came back to our flat in Islington and I basically pushed Elton into, you gotta do it, and he did, and all hell broke loose, and the next day we were carted off back to Elton's mother's apartment in Northwood Hills, and the hero of that event was certainly Long John Baldry, no doubt about it.
When I think of those East End lights, muggy nights, the curtains drawn in the little room downstairs, Madonna, Lord, you really should have been there, sitting like a princess perched in her electric chair. And there's one more beer and I don't hear you anymore. We've all gone crazy lately, my friends out there rolling round the basement floor. Someone saved my life tonight, sugar bear. Almost had your hooks in me, didn't you, dear? You nearly had me roped and tied. All about hypnotized sweet freedom whispered in my ear, you're a butterfly. And butterflies are free to fly, fly away, high away, showers, sip news hanging in my darkest dreams. I'm strangled by a haunted social scene, just a pawn I played by a dominating queen. It's
Someone Saved My Life Tonight, off the 50th anniversary release of Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy.
I still cry when I hear that. You know, I wasn't in love with Bernie physically, but I was in love with him. It was a brotherly love that we had. That song still makes me well up.
If you can wait a few more minutes, you'll find out which song Elton's talking about. More Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy at 50 All Access is coming right up.
You're listening to 92.9 WBPM. Side effects may include sudden outbursts of joy, happiness, higher energy, more creativity, heightened awareness, and spontaneous singing. Listen at your own risk.
Thanks for hanging around for more of Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy at 50, All Access. Now, Elton and Bernie take us back to the middle of the 1960s.
It was the death knell of Denmark Street. Denmark Street, for people who don't know what Denmark Street was called Tin Pan Alley. And it was full of music publishers that signed writers, paid them very little money to write songs for other people. That was how the music business worked in those days. Then the Beatles came along and changed all that because they wrote their own songs. And then the Rolling Stones, who initially didn't write their own songs, recorded Not Fade Away and a Beatles song as well, started to write their own songs. And then everybody started to write their own songs. The people that were actually contracted to write songs for other people were finding it very, very hard. And the music business changed. When we went to America and made it in 1970, we'd had a year and a half of playing as a band. I mean, the fact that we happened in America first, by a complete fluke, we went to play the Troubadour Club in September 1970 and to promote the Elton John album, which had a very dark cover and a very moody orchestral album. And we were a three-piece band that played rock and roll and interpreted those songs on the album in a very different way. It was right place, right time, great review from Robert Hilburn in the LA Times. And then two or three years of hard work trying to make it and sustaining and growing your career in America by playing second on the wheel to people like Eric Clapton, Derek and the Dominoes, Leon Russell, the Kinks.
That was a very, very emotional time in our lives, and it was very important.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river, with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly, a girl with a collide. You see in the sky with diamonds.
mission with plasticine importers with looking glass ties. Suddenly someone is there at the turnstile, the girl with kaleidoscope eyes.
Elton John covering the Beatles' Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds from the 2-CD version of the 50th anniversary of Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy. Elton talking about Bernie.
I mean, he's always been that kind of rural boy from Lincolnshire who loved America and wanted to go to America, and he's living his fantasy. I'm living my fantasy, and we're the two luckiest people in the world, to be honest with you.
We all fall in love sometimes. I still cry when I hear that. You know, I wasn't in love with Bernie physically, but I was in love with him. It was a brotherly love that we had. That song still makes me well up. I'm kind of welling up when I talk about it now.
Wise men say, it looks like rain today. It crackled on the speakers and trickled down the sleepy subway trains. For heavy eyes could hardly hold it, aching legs that often told us it's all worth it. We all fall in love sometimes. The full moon's bright and starlight filled the evening. We wrote it and I played it. Something happened. It's so strange, this feeling. Naive notions that were childish, simple tunes that tried to hide it. But when it comes, we all fall in love sometimes. Did we? Didn't we? Should we? Couldn't we? I'm not sure, 'cause sometimes we're so blind, struggling through the day, when even your best friend says, don't you
wise men say, it looks like rain today, it crackled on the speakers and trickled down the sleepy subway train. Heavy eyes could hardly hold us, aching legs that often told us it's all worth it.
Beautiful We All Fall in Love Sometimes by Elton John. When Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy at 50 All Access returns in a few minutes, Elton and Bernie will take you back to their beginnings.
You're listening to 92.9 WBPM. We're perfect for listening at home or at work, in the car, weddings, graduations, Tuesdays, birthday parties, anniversaries, and we do great catering. Ask for a brochure on your way out.
Welcome back to the final segment of Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy at 50 All Access. I'm Dan Neer. Here's Elton John and Bernie Taupin taking you back to their early days.
And it's really been a kind of forgotten record in a way. It came in at number one and it did incredibly well. One of my favorite albums, but many people think of the classic Elton John albums, they think of Tumbleweed and Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. Well, Yellow Brick Road was a double album with lots of singles on it and lots of, you know, really great pop songs. This was telling a story. It's more like a musical in a way. In fact, it is a musical of our first 3 years together. It tells the story of how Bernie and I met, what we went through in the early days, forced to write songs that we didn't want to write. And it really only covers us up to the point that Empty Sky came out, which was our first album. So it only really goes from 1967 to 69, really.
We were incredibly prolific, but at the same time, it was kind of the way of things back then as far as record company pressure. In the early 70s, it wasn't unusual for a major act to be making at least two records a year. That's really all we did. We toured, we wrote, and we made records. And outside of that, we didn't do really anything else. We were just continually honing our craft.
It's an autobiographical album, but also very accurate about the music business at that time. And some of the songs on the album tells a story about that meal ticket, Bitter Fingers. And it is quite scathing. It's like, oh, for God's sake, you know, we're paying you 15 quid a week. You've got to write a song for the Fortunes, or you've got to write a song for the Casuals, or whatever. It was frustrating. We weren't any good at it. If you were good at it, it was a different kettle of fish.
There was a face on a horn that someone had drawn on. And just enough time for the night to pass by without warning. Away in the distance, there's a blue flashing light. Someone's in trouble, somewhere tonight. As the flickering neon stands ready to fuse, the wind blows away all of yesterday's news. Well, they've locked up their daughters and they've battened the hatches. They always could find us, but they never could catch us. Through the grease-streaked window of an all-night cafe, we watched the arrested get taken away. And that cigarette haze is ecology B. As the horse and the drums falling from the street.
Better Off Dead from the newly dropped 50th anniversary edition of Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy by Elton John.
We had a lot of pressure from record companies to write hits, and that's not exactly what we're good at. In fact, we're not very good at having specifically to write hits. The only two songs that we wrote were Philadelphia Freedom. It was pretty easy to write because it was for Billie Jean King, and he wrote an amazing lyric, and also because the music of Philadelphia at that time was a big inspiration. Gamble and Huff and the Spinners and the OJs and MFSB and the 3 Degrees and Teddy Prendergast and it was just, and it was a perfect record to mirror that time because I love that kind of music. And it was a huge hit.
I used to be a rolling stone, you know. If a cause was right, I'd leave to find an answer on the road. I used to be a heart beating for someone, but the times have changed. Less I say, the more my work gets done. 'Cause I live and breathe this Philadelphia freedom. From the day that I was born, I waved the flag. Philadelphia freedom took me knee high to a man. Yeah, give me a piece of.
Elton John with Philadelphia Freedom. You can find that on the 2-CD version of the 50th anniversary edition of Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy. Unfortunately, that's the last song we have time for. But before we go, here's last words from Bernie Taupin and Elton John.
As far as our canon, it certainly stands out as one of our greatest achievements, and I still love that record dearly. As someone who's not particularly nostalgic, I think that's really the only part of our career looking back. My reminiscences of it are always sort of wonderful, and it was a beautiful time in our lives. And coming from me, that's odd because, as I say, I'm not by nature a nostalgic person.
Well, I just love it. I absolutely love making music, listening to new bands, meeting new bands. You know, I've always been like that. I love music from when I was 3 years old, so nothing's changed, and I'm very lucky to be able to do what I do, and I'm very lucky to have been able to follow the path I wanted to do.
You can pick up a copy of the 50th anniversary release of Elton John's Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy in all formats wherever you buy music. Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy at 50 All Access was produced in New Jersey for UME by Near Perfect Productions. All rights reserved. No portion may be reproduced without the written permission of the producers. I'm Dan Neer. Thanks for listening.